Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The Israel Report brought to you with the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israel Property Management and Sales.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks. And yourself?
I'm well, thank you. But apparently there's a diplomatic issue brewing with Chile.
Well, this is quite astonishing because, in my career, I've never seen this done before. Yesterday, our ambassador, the new ambassador to Chile, Gil Artielli, was due to meet with the president to present his credentials. And it's something that I think is actually quite unprecedented and could have severe diplomatic ramifications. The president refused to accept the credentials of our ambassador. Now, this has been condemned in Chile, and the president, Gabriel Boric, is known to be extremely anti-Israel. He has supported the BDS movement in the past, but this is a grave breach of diplomatic protocol and really could have severe ramifications.
So what is likely to happen? How does this play out?
Well, what we are expecting today is for our foreign ministry to summon the Chilean ambassador for full clarification. But what the president said to our ambassador is that he is cancelling the ceremony because of Israel killing children in Gaza and that a minor was killed in Gaza by IDF troops this week, which actually didn't happen. There were clashes, heavy clashes between IDF counter-terror troops and Palestinians this week. A 17-year-old may have been killed. I'm still waiting for final confirmation on that. But there was nothing in Gaza happening this week, and Chile trying to almost downplay it, saying, you know what, it's not a punishment of Israel, we're going to push the ceremony to October. But this is a massive insult, not just to the ambassador, but to the state of Israel, and is quite unprecedented.
The problem with this sort of thing is, and we see it in South Africa as well, is it very often depends on where these countries are getting their information from. So we see this in South Africa over and over again. If you align with BDS and you rely on them as an honest broker to provide you factual material, and you assume that what they give you are the facts, then you do make the wrong decisions.
Well, I think, we have to start everybody becoming smarter media consumers. In today's age, where a lot of people take their news, which is my personal bugbear, from Facebook or TikTok, instead of going to proper, credible news sources, actually reading through the articles, maybe getting an understanding of a variety of different media on an issues. Today, whether it's Israel, or whether it's the United Kingdom, or whether it's Chile or any other country, very often newspapers are pushing very clear agendas. It's becoming very, very apparent for us to see. See it with Israel. And that is why I encourage people to read as much as possible. Don't just read Haaretz. Read Haaretz, read the Times of Israel, read the Jerusalem Post. Read a variety so that you get the full spectrum and the full perspective and can make informed decisions.
That said, I think that governments have a very different responsibility on a different level that they need to be assured of. They can't take their news from Facebook or anyone else, whereas Auntie Tilly might be forgiven, even though she's very irritating and one has to block her, she might be forgiven. A government cannot be. The South African government, Chilean government, cannot hide behind the fact that they've been given false news about children being killed when that hasn't even happened.
Well, I think in the case of some governments, certainly, and we see it with South Africa, the BDS movement have successfully engaged many members of the government and are quite successful at pushing their agenda there. You know, we also have to look at where a government's foreign policy is. And when I look at South Africa and I see their foreign policy is, being neutral when it comes to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, or having one of their sole policies for the year having Israel's observer status revoked at the African Union, one has to seriously question that and wonder if they're there to push an agenda, or are they there to work for the good of their constituents?
Absolutely, a fair question indeed. UAE foreign minister is in Israel.
Well, can you believe that this week we celebrated, in fact yesterday was the exact date, that we celebrated 2 years since the official signing of the Abraham Accords on the grounds of the White House just 2 years ago. I mean, it's extraordinary. If you had to have said to me 2.5 years ago that we'd be celebrating 2 years of peace with the United Arab Emirates, or rather normalization, because we were never in a situation of war, or Bahrain, I would have told you that you had lost your mind. But here we are with His Royal Highness Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed, he's the foreign minister of the United Arab Emirates, celebrating this massive achievement for our region with us yesterday in our country. He was hosted by President Herzog in a lunch. I loved the president's welcome. He gave him a hug, embraced him. You know that this is custom here in the Middle East to kiss on both cheeks, a warm embrace. And he says, I welcome you with an open heart and open arms. I mean, that is just beautiful, but really, really moving to see was His Royal Highness go straight from his lunch to Yad Vashem to lay a wreath in the Hall of Remembrance. That is a historic moment, not just for Israel, but for our region. A really, really heartwarming scenes.
Whereas we've seen a tremendous amount of Israelis traveling to the UAE, to Dubai, they've wasted very little time in that. Are we seeing reciprocal tourism at this stage?
To be honest, we would like to see a lot more. We have had delegations, we have had, Emiratis visiting Israel. I think, they maybe culturally are different to us. I mean, Israelis, no sooner have you landed a El Al plane on the tarmac at Ben Gurion, we've switched on our phones, we've unbuckled, we're already reaching for our suitcases. And, if we weren't, if it wasn't just a difficult feat to accomplish, we'd jump off the plane already to get inside. That's part of our culture. Israelis are very, very early adopters. We're quick off the mark, sometimes to our detriment in many places, because we very much want to do things and now and see things now and meet people now. We are very, very curious. And I think, the Emirati, the Bahraini culture is a lot more restrained and a lot more measured and a little less exuberant than we are. Having said this, our ambassador to the Kingdom of Bahrain yesterday said he would actually like to see a lot more Israelis in Bahrain.
Incredible, because I'm sure we will start to see that, and it would be nice when we've got more reciprocity. Just to clear up one thing, Andrew Davis saying, you mentioned Haaretz, Times of Israel, J Post. Are they authentic? Surely they represent only a single click point of view.
Well, we could definitely say that about Haaretz. Haaretz, it's no great secret. They have a very, very specific point of view. But I think you will find in publications like the Times of Israel, R24 News, a lot more of a centrist a lot more of a nuanced point of view. Sometimes you'll find that with the Jerusalem Post as well. You know, the Israeli media is not very clickbait orientated. We are a very, very difficult media in that we will look for anything that we see in government that doesn't gel or doesn't meet with our or makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable. We will hold government officials very, very much accountable, which is why, you know, we sometimes have this antagonism inside the country. You know, our media is to this, our media is to that. We are rated, according to Freedom House, one of the most open and democratic medias in the world. We don't really have tabloid culture here. You know, we don't really have the celebrity culture that you see
around the world,
other countries, in, you know, here in Israel. You know, if we see celebrity news reported in our media, it's going to be a story that
is relevant,
probably either that is either relevant or truly remarkable, but we don't have that tabloid clickbait culture here.
All right, that's well answered. It is 7:56. The other story that was a big story last night was that there was a terror infiltration in the Carmel settlement. Is it where is that, the Carmel settlement?
Well, that's slightly north, and this is a settlement you don't hear of any kind of infiltration or any kind of issues. You know, I got the fright of my life, my Tseva Dom app went off and it said Carmel. So, you know, all of a sudden we all scrounging. I'm looking through my my alerts that, you know, we normally get to say that, you know, incoming projectile or whatever, nothing. But then the news broke that there had been an infiltration in the settlement of Carmel, that there were multiple suspected terrorists, and that there was a heavy IDF presence and exchange of gunfire. Thank goodness today only a mild injury being reported, a 20-year-old who was shot in the hand, taken to Soroka Hospital, and thank goodness the situation seemed to quieten down. No news yet if the suspects have been caught, but the IDF will, you know, not relent until they are, and Homefront Command last night issuing the directive to the residents to stay in their homes, to not go out, and all access points were closed off.
Yeah. And finally, a senior officer said Iranian-backed forces are withdrawing from Syria due to IDF strikes. So this is very good news.
This is very good news. And, you know, we've heard a lot this week from our defense minister, Benny Gantz. We also heard from the chief of Intel speaking at the Reichman University counterterror conference, who said that it's his belief that if it wasn't for Hezbollah, Lebanon would have joined the Abraham Accords. And now we have this other story also, which Benny Gantz alluded to earlier this week, showing a map of 10 positions in Syria, which he says the Iranians had used the scientific research centers to use them as munitions development posts. And, you know, Israel has been regularly striking targets in Syria, and now we have this report that Iranian forces are starting to withdraw. Also, Syria speaking to Iran a couple of weeks ago, appealing to them not to launch attacks on Israeli sovereign territory from Syria, that Syria very much does not want to be involved in any kind of war between Israel and Iran.
Absolutely right. Rolene Mark, this is Where We Love and Leave You, wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we, of course, will catch you next week. The Israel Report was brought to you with the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israeli Property Management and Sales. It's 8 o'clock.